Good evening. It is 5 p.m. and you're tuned in to Today in YGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. Today in YGK is brought to you by CFRC's news collective, Lauren Tucker, Jesse Bell, and Christina Laurie. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist, Christina Laurie, and here are your local news headlines. After 5 weeks of the LaSalle Causeway being closed off, Kingston's tourism sector is already seeing a major impact and projecting a difficult season. The LaSalle Causeway has been closed since March 31st due to an incident during scheduled maintenance, effectively separating Kingston's East End and key attraction Fort Henry from downtown. In their last update on Friday, May 10th, Public Services and Procurement Canada estimated another 7 to 9 weeks of work to repair the bridge, enabling the resumption of pedestrian, cyclist, vehicle, and marine traffic. Now 5 weeks into the closure and the city's peak tourism season, Kingston's tourism sector and the thousands of residents it employs are already seeing an impact. This hit also comes while the industry is still recovering from the economic losses caused by the pandemic. The closure is affecting various tourist attractions and tourism-adjacent businesses across the city. Most pressingly, cruise operators Kingston Thousand Islands Cruises and St. Lawrence Cruise Lines both have ships docked in the Inner Harbor, north of the LaSalle Causeway, which are currently completely inaccessible. In a recent release, Tourism Kingston reported that, combined, the businesses are expecting to lose $4 million in direct revenue, and the loss of related economic activity like accommodations, dining, and shopping is estimated to have a $15 million impact. In the same release, Jason Clark of St. Lawrence Cruise Lines is recorded as stating, quote, "This will have a huge impact felt across the regional economy for years. Our bookings for 2024 have been exceptionally strong, and we were looking forward to bringing those passengers to Kingston. Now we are in a position of canceling full cruises, and our business and our crew are facing financial uncertainty. There will be a ripple effect for small businesses and jobs across the region," end quote. Tour buses which would normally visit Kingston may bypass the city entirely if they cannot get to both Fort Henry and downtown, unable to justify the delays they would incur by taking alternative routes. Travel trade tourism in Kingston had an over $3 million impact in 2023. There is an expansive list of local accommodations, restaurants, museums, and other tourism-related businesses and their suppliers that count on cruise and bus traffic into Kingston beginning in May. I sat down with CEO of Tourism Kingston, Megan Knott, and Executive Director of Kingston Accommodation Partners, Crystal LeClaire, to discuss how Kingston's tourism industry has been and will continue to be impacted by the closure. The causeway has been closed since March 31st. I was wondering if you could get into a bit of what you've seen so far just over the last few months.
So the last couple months or last several weeks, what we've been seeing is, pure chaos, to be honest. Every sector of the tourism industry has been affected. Traffic for sure, but also access to sport fields, access to accommodations, definitely for the marine sector. They've been, highly impacted because they haven't yet been able to start their season as their boats are trapped on the other side of the bridge in the Inner Harbor. Across sectors, everybody's feeling the pressure for sure.
Definitely. Megan, did you have anything on that, just on how the last few months have been?
I think for sure, Kristen makes a good point about obviously the frustration from industry, anywhere from small business all the way through to large tourism industry partners, as well as attractions. And I think what's significant about this issue is that since March 31st, there's really been no support from government to be able to communicate clearly that we want to prioritize the tourism sector and make sure that, realizing we're still in a recovery mode from pandemic, it takes years to sort of make sure that we take ourselves from what was a state of obviously sheer devastation to the tourism industry and try to not only recover, but then, be able to continue to operate and flourish in our community. And so what we are frustrated about, I think, most specifically, is just the lack of cooperation to make sure that we prioritize all of the ecosystem that Krista just mentioned to ensure that there is the least possible impact to all those being affected. And that's not just you know, large tourism operators, that's our entire economy. I mean, tourism is built on 10% of workforce in the city of Kingston, is obviously through the tourism sector. We know that this is a very busy time for tourism. Tourism's all season, all year, we know that, but particularly in this type of season, we see watercraft come out or not come out in this case. So making sure that we also note that it's probably one of the worst times that this could happen to the community.
Yeah, we are headed right into summer peak tourism season. I was wondering if you could also speak to the magnitude of the hit tourism is projected to take due to this closure.
Yeah, definitely. So what we've already seen in our community is tens of millions of dollars of impact. We're seeing this impact because of operators not being able to get going. We've seen weddings canceled. We've seen business events impacted. So we're talking tens of millions of dollars, and that's just going to grow every day that we don't have a solution.
Absolutely. And both of you spoke to your frustration sort of with the government and anyone else who could really take action on this. I was wondering what you would like to see in the future from folks who maybe have more power in this situation.
Yeah, thank you. So I think what we need to see is more collaboration, definitely between the ministries. We have Ministry of Transportation, Ministry of PSPC, and Ministry of Tourism all on this file. But the lack of urgency, the lack of collaboration, the lack of communication to those of us that are on the ground seeing it happen. So we're certainly, communicating with them regularly about the large economic impact here and the, desire and the need to move quickly to find solutions that shouldn't take this long, to be honest. So I think that's what we really need from government is more collaboration across ministries and removing some of the bureaucracy that is tying up very viable solutions that are on the table.
And Megan, did you have anything on that as well?
I just think that comes from a local level up. So definitely we obviously have a member of parliament in our community. And I think the best piece of advice for anyone that would like to share information that's being affected by this situation is obviously to call or email or write or stop in to our local MP's office and communicate the why, because I think the MP's job is really to take all that communication up to the three ministries that Krista just outlined. Obviously as constituents within the community. And this isn't just local to Kingston. There's definitely other areas that will be affected by these closures, neighboring communities as well. So maybe making sure that our MPs are working together to make sure that they have a voice as it relates to the three specific ministries that are assigned to these files. But I think the more community advocacy and comments that we can garner to our MP's office, the better.
Absolutely. Yeah. And with the causeway kind of still months away from being up and running based on their last update, what kind of measures is Tourism Kingston and other organizations thinking to try to face this, even if, the government isn't so swiftly taking action?
Yeah, that's a great question. So Tourism Kingston's working with all of our community partners to figure out the best path forward. We are working on maybe some opportunities to shuttle people from one side of Kingston to the other, understanding that the bridge just wasn't for vehicle traffic. It was also for pedestrian traffic to help our East End operators. We're also making sure to try to communicate the best path forward. If you're in sort of the downtown core and you're looking to get to the East End, making sure that our maps are updated and our GPS systems are updated, so that visitors or residents alike understand how to really get around over other forms of transportation mechanisms, whether that's the 401 or whether that's a Wapping Crossing, making sure that we're really clear with other tour operators or other community partners that if business can't be had on the boats, for example, that is offered to some of our other community partners so that it's not lost business. It's just our reimagined business into spaces and places that people can actually currently access. But I think the most important piece is that temporarily, until there is a full fix of the structure on the causeway, that there is opportunity for government to jump in and support the movement of these boats, whether that's a craned operation or whether that's the removal of a span of another part of the bridge to free these boats. I think in the short term, what we really want to see, well, we're really busy trying to make sure that we're supporting sort of the day-to-day lost business, is that there's actually activity, not just conversations happening, to be able to move these boats and free them so that there is no more lost opportunity, and that then the focus can go back to just what's the long-term goal or maintenance of the bridge.
Absolutely. And Krista, did you have any comments on that as well?
Yeah, no, thank you. Just to build on what Megan said, I would suggest also that, you know, operators and organizations like Tourism Kingston, Kingston Accommodation Partners, and other community members, we definitely don't see the fix just ending here. So there are going to be multiple layers of fixes. So let's start with marine, because they don't have any other option. And then we can move on to making sure that there's solutions for vehicles and pedestrians and cyclists as well, because all of those sectors are really important. But at this point, there is no other option for marine. And then in addition to that, making sure that you know, we have to look at how government can support these businesses if we are going to be waiting several weeks and even a couple months for results. These businesses, you know, in the pandemic would have been receiving a wage subsidies, for example. So it's really great, you know, if there's a firm date that we can be opening, for example, July to October. Well, yes, those businesses might have a 4-month season instead of a 6-month season. But the problem with that is that will they even be able to maintain their staff levels until that time? For example, that's just one example. But we need to start thinking about how government can be supporting these businesses to get them through this time, and not just wait and see.
Going forward, Knott and LeClaire hope to see more large-scale support.
I honestly think we just want to make a clear statement to suggest that tourism was deeply affected by the pandemic, as every industry, as every you know, person was. And so recovery isn't short-term, it's a long-term process. And so as we continue to see recovery efforts happen within our tourism community, which is a huge economic driver within our community, we know that it's $500 million economic impact, it's 10% of the workforce, it's a ripple effect. If you move one piece of the domino, you know, there's consequences that the whole ecosystem will feel that shift. And so what's really important to note is that we need, this is a government issue, and we need a government action to be able to at least see some movement on freeing the boats. That's step one. Freeing the boats will allow us to stop seeing lost business. It will stop seeing job loss. It will help us continue to be able to then move forward and see a path of, you know, larger conversations about the whole infrastructure of the bridge. And so I think that's really what we need to make sure is clearly communicated. And that won't happen just by a few bodies within the community calling government. That's going to happen when we champion every single resident or non-resident that cares about our community to call their local MP and to make sure that the ministries realize that this is a very important and urgent call to action on government.
And I would just add that, you know, at the start of the pandemic, Kingston was identified by the Conference Board of Canada as one of the top 5 communities in our country to be impacted because of the percentage of jobs per capita that is related to the tourism industry. And this is no different. So our community is being highly impacted across tourism sectors, you know, and beyond that, because families' livelihoods depend on this, and we need to see support now.
That wraps up your headlines for this evening. Next up is Lauren Tucker with your CFRC Arts Desk.
Thanks, Christina. Here's your arts and culture news for today. On Tuesday, May 14th, the Kingston Grand Theatre launched their 2024 to 2025 Grand On Stage season with a special evening event featuring a sneak peek performance from incoming performer Juno and Maple Blues winner Steve Strongman. This season will include Kingston, Canadian, and international performances including music, dance, circus, comedy, and much more. Highlights from the upcoming season include an opening night performance from legendary singer-songwriter Tom Cochran, and included video sneak peeks from Machine de Cirque, Matt Dusk, Natalie McMaster and Donald Leahy, Step Africa and the Red Hot Chili Pipers, and much more. For the full season, you can check out kingstongrand.ca. Registration is now open at the Kingston School of Art for summer camps and spring term classes, including adult classes, youth classes, and workshops. This week's workshops include fashion drawing with Color Blast on May 22nd and digitizing your art on May 23rd. And running from May 15th to 30th, the Kingston School of Art will be hosting the exhibition Making Sense of Decolonization with Artificial Intelligence, Digital and Conventional Art Creation, created for researcher Carly Milburn's PhD project. As part of this exhibition, a workshop will be hosted on May 18th from 1 to 3 p.m. where participants will be given the opportunity to create art that is showcased in the exhibition's virtual gallery. We sat down with Carly for this week's Kingston Curator to learn more about the project.
The project in itself delves into the dynamic intersection of Indigenous perspectives, artificial intelligence, collaborative art making, and decolonization. And so at this core, the initiative is about reconciling cultural practices, addressing biases, and ensuring equitable access. So essentially, we're creating a space where art acts as an extension of ourselves. We want to amplify marginalized voices and promote exclusivity in discussions surrounding decolonization in various contexts. It's about, our project is investigating how technology and digital art making can contribute to understanding and visualizing decolonization in diverse spaces by leaving no one behind. And so a lot of the workshops, we learn about the content together, Indigenous and non-Indigenous people. Yeah, so I would say just come to the gallery, come see what we have to offer. You can go through the virtual art gallery, make a commitment string, look at the art. We have a carpet. You can just sit down, take it in. You don't even need to look at anything. Just sit in the space.
You can catch the full interview with Carly Milburn on this project and workshop on this week's Curator as well, Thursday at 2 p.m., so be sure to tune in. And this week at Kingston's Independent Cinema, The Screening Room, you can catch special event screenings Dawn of the Dead, 45th anniversary re-release on Thursday, May 16th, as well as Pride and Prejudice on May 16th as part of the Period Romance in May series. You can also catch Viva Las Vegas on May 15th as part of the Psychotronic Cinema series. There's also plenty of new arrivals and more special screenings arriving every week, so be sure to check back at screeningroomkingston.com for their latest cinematic adventures. And this week in live music in Kingston, you can check out these shows. Tonight, May 15th, emerging upright bassist, composer, and bandleader of the Toronto jazz scene, Robert Lee Jazz, will be taking over the stage at Hotel Wolf Island at 7 p.m. with a group project that celebrates Korean traditional music in tandem with jazz and musical improvisation. Admission is by donation. On Thursday, May 16th at the Mansion, One Night Riot, presented by Funk Riot Productions, celebrates local hip-hop and electronic music with performers Cacao, Jean-Jacques Dupel, Hartman, and Dirty North. Tickets for this 19-plus event are $10 in advance and $20 at the door, and the night kicks off at 8 p.m. On Friday, May 17th at the Buckle, you can catch Townie, Cody Allen James in good company, and Brothers Gently for an alt country show at 8 p.m. These acts are coming to you all the way from Halifax and from closer to home in Kingston and Sydenham, so country fans won't want to miss out. Tickets for this 19-plus show are $10 online in advance or $15 at the door. On Saturday, May 18th, fiddle banjo duo Porch Couch is bringing old-time Appalachian music to Hotel Wolf Island. Admission to this 7 p.m. show is by donation. For more on these gigs and all of the awesome live music hitting Kingston this week and beyond, you can check out kingstonlive.ca. And here on CFRC, we launched the third season of the Kingston Curator last Thursday, bringing you the latest and greatest in Kingston arts news all summer. I'll be your host, and we'll have arts headlines, interviews, and live music calendars for you, so be sure to check back every Thursday at 2 p.m. on CFRC, or subscribe to our podcast feed wherever you get your podcasts. That's all I've got for you today on Arts Desk. Now I'll turn it over to Jesse Bell at the Sports Desk.
This is Jesse Bell from the CFRC Sports Desk, and this is your sports report for Wednesday, May 15th, 2024. In the most hotly anticipated opening night in the WNBA's history, two of the league's premier rookies, Caitlin Clark and Aaliyah Edwards, made their professional basketball debuts. Caitlin Clark, the first overall draft pick and the most hyped female basketball prospect of all time, shot 5 for 15 and 4 for 11 from 3, recording 20 points in 32 minutes of action, although the Indiana Fever would lose to the Connecticut Sun by a score of 92-71. Kingston's own Aaliyah Edwards made her professional basketball debut, coming off the bench for the Washington Mystics. Edwards played 14 minutes of action and went 2-for-4 from the field, recording 6 total points. There were two games on the NHL schedule on Tuesday night. In the first, the Boston Bruins beat the Florida Panthers 2-1 to push their series to a 6th game, which will be in Boston. Florida currently leads the series 3-2. In the late window, we had the 4th game between the Edmonton Oilers and the Vancouver Canucks. So far, the teams have traded wins, each by identical 1-goal margins. Vancouver won Game 1 5-4, the Oilers won Game 2 4-3, the Canucks won Game 3 4-3, and last night the Oilers won Game 4 by a score of 3-2. Edmonton has been led by their dynamic duo of Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid, and in last night's game, Draisaitl scored his 8th goal and his 20th point of the playoffs, and McDavid picked up his 16th assist and 18th point of the playoffs. There is one game on the NHL schedule tonight, an elimination game in Dallas between the Dallas Stars and the Colorado Avalanche. Dallas currently leads that series by a score of 3-1. Puck drop is at 8 p.m. This concludes your sports report for Wednesday, May 15th, 2024. This is Jesse Bell signing off and wishing you all nothing but the best.
Now for your CFRC weather report for this evening. Tonight we're expecting cloudy skies with a 30% chance of showers this evening. We'll have fog patches developing after midnight and a low of 14 degrees. Looking forward to tomorrow, Thursday, May 16th, we're expecting mainly cloudy skies with a 30% chance of showers in the afternoon. Fog patches will be dissipating in the morning. We have a high of 21 degrees and a humidex of 25, UV index of 7 or high. Thursday night we'll have cloudy periods with a low of 12. Finishing off the week on Friday, we'll have a mix of sun and cloud with a 40% chance of showers and a high of 19. Friday night, we'll have cloudy skies with a 60% chance of showers and a low of 13. That wraps up your CFRC weather report for this evening, and next up is your CFRC weekly traffic report. Now it's time for your CFRC weekly traffic report for the week of May 10th to 16th. PSPC wishes to advise users that the LaSalle Causeway is still fully closed to motorists, cyclists, and pedestrians until further notice. In other road closures to look out for, Campbell Crescent, Richardson to 7 Campbell is closed until 7 p.m. tonight to facilitate water main relining for Utilities Kingston. Cataract Way Woods Drive at Centennial is closed until May 24th at 5 p.m. to facilitate the extension of Cataract Way Woods Drive. Earl Street Division to Aberdeen is closed until May 22nd at 7 p.m. for the disconnect of services and installation of new services on Earl Street. Hillcrest Avenue, Kings Court to 7th is closed until May 31st for buried infrastructure replacement. The road will be open to local traffic. King Street, Plast Arms to north end of King is closed until September 30th for the construction of new storm and roadbed. The road will be open to local traffic. Finally, University Avenue, Union to Earl is still closed until May 29th for the Queens JDUC project. In parking disruptions, the Hanson Memorial Parking Structure Restoration Project is now underway. The work will take place throughout all levels of the building and will include efforts such as routine structural maintenance, repainting, replacement of waterproofing materials, and upgrades to the building's mechanical and electrical systems. The work is planned to begin the first week of February 2024 and conclude in late December of 2024. The work will be completed in phases to allow the building to remain open to public parking for the duration of the project. It is anticipated that no more than 50% of the available 271 parking spaces will be closed at any time. There is also parking availability at the Chown Memorial and Robert Bruce Memorial parking garages in the two adjacent blocks to the west. In other delays, expect delays in the following areas due to the contractor preparing roads for surface treatment: Lehman Road, Maple Lawn Drive, Spooner Road, Seabrook Road, and Woodburn Road. Bay Ridge Drive, Woodbine to Cataract Way Woods, expect delays until May 17th while contractors are completing construction restoration work in that area. Hudson Drive at Bay Ridge Public School, expect delays until June 28th as a contractor will be on site to complete upgrades to the school crossing. Hudson Drive at Hudson Park, expect delays until June 28th as a contractor will be on site to complete upgrades to the bus stop and pedestrian crossing. Forcer Road, Highway 38 to Stagecoach, expect delays May 13th to May 17th as a contractor will be completing the pulverizing of the road. Princess Street, Bay Ridge to Collins Bay, expect delays until May 17th while contractors are completing construction restoration work in that area. Queen Street, Montreal to Sydenham, expect an eastbound lane closure until May 15th. Detours will be in place for the duration of the lane closure. In sidewalk closures, Venture Drive, Centennial to Resource, expect a sidewalk closure on the south side of Venture Drive to prevent pedestrian hazards arising from heavy trucks entering and exiting the soil storage facility. That wraps up your CFRC Weekly Traffic Report, and next up is Jesse Bell with your CFRC Events and Concerts calendar.
It's time for CFRC's Concert and Events Calendar. Have an event you'd like covered? Reach out through cfrc.ca today. On Thursday, May 16th, you are invited to the Circle of Song with singer, songwriter, and community song leader, Wendy Luella Perkins. Soulful singing is about presence, not performance, and every voice is welcome, including yours. This event is held online via Zoom from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. Please register online in advance by searching up Soulful Singing, Queen's University. Also on Thursday, May 16th, Paint Your Night is hosting a paint night event where you can unleash your inner artist while sipping on delicious, locally made cider. Their talented instructors will guide you step by step as you create a beautiful painting to take home. No experience necessary, just come ready to have a great time and leave with a masterpiece. Grab your friends and make it a night to remember at Hardway Cider Company. The event begins at 6 p.m. and runs until 8 p.m. Friday night is karaoke night at Daft Brewing. The karaoke begins at 9 p.m. and runs until midnight. Check out the $4 shots and $6 light lagers. This event is hosted by AA DJs. Friday nights are also when you can catch Chris Jackson playing live classic rock and country staples at Blue Martini from 6:30 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. And also on Friday, May 17th, the Kingston Grand Theater presents Together Again, a tribute to Dolly Parton and Kenny Rogers. Doors at 7 p.m., the show starts at 7:30. On Saturday, May 18th, Utilities Kingston presents Spring into Summer. Swing by Lake Ontario Park between 1 p.m. and 9 p.m. for this spring send-off slash summer celebration. This special event at Lake Ontario Park will feature a number of fun activities for kids and adults alike, such as the inflatable rock climbing wall, Radical Rush obstacle course, and the splash pad. Daft Brewing will be on site with a beer garden for those aged 19+. The event will end with a firework finale scheduled to begin after 9 p.m. This event is free for the public. On Sunday, May 19th, Jay Smith, formerly known as Smitty Kingston, will be performing live at the Caesar Company from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Swing by and enjoy Jay's authentic contemporary country music. This concludes CFRC's Community Concert and Events Calendar for the week. This is Jesse Bell signing off and wishing you all nothing but the best.
Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and hear more from some of our guests, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What Will I Wear, 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
What'll I Wear offers the best in vintage, funky, one-of-a-kind treasures, clothing, accessories, and a fabulous selection of jewels, vintage and new. Find the cutest purse, the most dashing of hats and sunglasses, everything to complete your individual look. What'll I Wear has it all. They can dress you from top to bottom. Find your new fashion fave at What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street in Kingston. Visit their new location and follow them on Facebook to keep up to date with what's in store at What'll I Wear.